Hey gang, are you a band in Austin? Tired of practicing on a crappy PA system in your garage? Tired of being in a band of schmoes? Want to be in a band of pros? Well, you can start by rehearsing at Space. Space is a state-of-the-art, affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. Tons of rooms, great PA systems, countless pros, including myself, rehearse there. You can get a hold of them by calling 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. Don't forget, get out of the band of schmoes, get into the band of pros. Space, rehearsal and recording. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Johnny.
All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Yeah. I got a great show for you guys today. The amazing AJ Vincent is here. He's a keyboard playing madman who you might know from Bright Light Social Hour. He's sat in with bands like Black Taxi and Wild Adriatic, who have both been on the show a couple of times. And now he plays in Scorpion Child, who's been on the show, and I love that band. I love them. He's a great musician. He's a great keyboard player. He's found a way to turn keyboards into something exciting, not just something a guy sits behind, but like he's up there, standing up in the face, playing a keytar. He's rocking out. He does solo shows. As I said, he's got this album out called FIFA Fire, which is really great. You can find it at ajvincent.com. Anyway, AJ is a great guy. I've seen him play a few times, and I wanted to sit down and talk to him. And so I invited him over after I heard some songs from FIFA Fire. My friends in Wild Adriatic were here for a while, and they were telling me about him. Oh, you got to get him on the show. So I did. And we had a great conversation about his, you know, coming into being a keyboard player. And turning it into something like the kind of music that he plays, he describes it as rock and roll influenced psychedelic electronic dance party, which is basically what it is. It rocks. It's like a rock and roll inspired keyboard player. Okay, anyway, it's a great conversation. He's a great guy. He's really entertaining and really funny. So you're going to enjoy my conversation with AJ Vincent. In just a minute, let me tell you what's going on with me. Hey, real quick, shout out to all the people that have just come to the show. And maybe you heard about it because of AJ, and you're just checking it out because you're a fan of his and you want to see what this is all about. Well, there's 375 or 6 episodes of conversations with musicians just like AJ, which you can scroll through at the howdidigethere.podbean.com page. Now, you can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. You can favorite us there. You will get a new episode every Tuesday and every Friday. And conversations with tons of different musicians, different kinds of artists, too. Sometimes I have actors on here. Sometimes I have producers. Sometimes I have managers. I got an author of a book coming up pretty soon. I've had a couple of those on. Anyway, check it out. And also, if you do like a show, the way that helps me spread the word about the show is if you post about it, if you tweet about it or you post it on your Facebook page and say, like, hey, I heard this great podcast. Check it out. You know, that helps us a lot. And also, you know, check out our Facebook page. You can like it and you know, just get involved. Get involved with the show. That's what's going to help us spread the word about it and get it out there. Okay? Thank you so much for sitting through that. I've got a long weekend of shows with Skyrocket. I wrote a song this week with Kimmy and Gabe Rhodes. I'm excited about that. I want to try and record it. I'll put it up on my SoundCloud and I'll let you guys know when it does come out. I've got a show on next Wednesday, May 13th at the Hole in the Wall here in Austin. I'll be playing from 7 to 8. I'll be doing a show along with my friends Ethan Azarian and Jeff Johnston. You just heard Ethan's show a few weeks ago. He's a great guy. They're great musicians, and I'm excited to do the show. If you live in Austin, come on out. It's a free show. Hole in the Wall is a classic place, legendary room. It's a crazy room. I love playing there, and I love playing solo shows. I haven't done one in a while, so I'm excited to do one. All right, let's talk to the amazing AJ Vincent. You might remember him from his work in the Bright Light Social Hour. He has played with Black Taxi and Wild Adriatic, good friends of the show. And now he has joined Scorpion Child. Fantastic, right? All right, you can find out about his music and his album Thief of Fire at ajvincent.com. We have a great conversation. Sit down and enjoy our chat. Ladies and gentlemen, here's my new pal, AJ Vincent. Let's get down.
Ooh.
wanna see it all. Come on, my friend. Come contemplate the wind on the light wingtips of a hawk in a southern grove. Fly over far.
I got injured in my eye back in high school, so where, like, I was playing football, actually, and someone's hand came through my face mask and, like, smashed me with a knuckle, like, right here. It was just in practice. It was, like, my friend, you know? It wasn't a big deal. It was just an accident. And then, so it smashed my eye, and so all of a sudden, like, my eye, the pressure, like, became off and shit, and, like, and so basically it started an astigmatism in that eye, and my left eye is fine. So I have to wear glasses that are like, this one's clear and then this one's prescription, you know?
Oh,
and it's,
weird,
but
yeah.
It's awesome because it's like my vision returns to like both, you know, both fields of view are sharp again instead of one fuzzy one and one not fuzzy one.
That's what one of my things is with my distance vision, because I had to get reading ones too, but my distance vision is one of my eyes is just not as together as the other.
It's just kind of like...
It's like one guy's going down.
It just took a break.
But I had a whole lifetime of, like, amazing vision. And then you hit an age. How old are you?
I'm 28.
Oh, you don't have to worry about it yet.
Yeah,
well, but you got, like, that thing that
it's
happened.
It's already going. Yeah, it's like,
I have to do,
like, little, like, eye drops and stuff to keep the pressure down. I mean, it's all good. It's not like... It's just, like, the latent injury kind of effect, but it's weird because I got these gigantic glasses, so I'm working and stuff, like, you know, I can, like, look down and look up and not have to be like, you know,
do the bifocals,
like, the
thing.
Under the frame, yeah, yeah, over, yeah, the, yeah, frame, yeah, thing. And I was, because that shit sucks.
I had a band teacher that did that.
Oh, really?
he would look over him and look into him and look over him and, like, John?
They hang him real low on the nose, yeah, kind of a thing.
Yeah. Looks like you didn't practice your music last night, did you?
Son of a bitch.
Bill Hicks's dad was my... So I saw you play with Black Taxi.
Oh, which show?
Was it at Speakeasy? No. Was it? No. Did you play with them last South by Southwest 2014?
It was 2014. I think we played at Stubbs?
Nope.
It wasn't Stubbs?
I did not see you at Stubbs. I saw you at inside place show in the West Warehouse area. I think. I thought it was Speakeasy.
Well, I can look real quick.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't have to look it up, but...
Yeah, it was...
Or it was one of those shows, or maybe I saw you play with them.
We did a few during that, and then we did some right before.
You played with... I saw some pictures of all of you guys on stage, like even Wild Adriatic and everything.
Yes, dude.
What was that?
Bowery and stuff.
That was in New York?
Well, we basically, we crossed paths. We crossed paths in Austin a few times, and then... And then we crossed paths in Florida, Black Taxi and I, and then like Wild Adriatic and I played, actually, like, what's the thing? It was a San Antonio show, like, a bit before the Bowery thing, and then all the bands were in New York, because I was like, I was just at that time, I was kind of like all over the place, kind of a free agent kind of a situation, and Black Taxi was like, why don't you come play in New York and play a few shows.
Hang on a second. I mean, do you realize, like, I got up to turn off the AC, like, that was going to make a difference, but, like, my phone going off. The guy is literally right outside the window, like, we... Sorry.
Just talk so, extra loud.
So, you had been playing in, Bright...
Yeah, Bright Light Social Hour, and it was, like, so I left them 2013, and then, basically, Black Taxi and I started jamming, like, literally, like, a week later, they were in town for their little, like, when they're hanging out at the ranch house thing, which was super sick. And, like,
did I meet you at the barbecue up there? I think I did.
I think so.
Sphinx was there.
And tons of, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
What an epic day. Yeah. But, like, so basically, we started jamming, just kind of had fun writing, and Bill and I had a great writing session, and just kind of, just, it was kind of like, there was just no ties to it, you know what I mean? It was just kind of like
easy
for the music's sake.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And basically, you know, we just had fun working together. And so eventually they asked me to do like a few shows up north. And so I flew up there and did Bowery and then the Mohegan Sun, that like gigantic casino. It was so much fun because we just like gambled and you know, partied afterwards, and Ezra and I like swam around in like the river nearby and stuff, and it was just epic. And but basically we played Bowery, and Wild Adriatic was on the bill, and Black Taxi was on the bill, and we had planned to do, because we did something at the parish where we did with you know, get by with a little help from my friends. Mm-hmm. And we did that at the parish, and it was great. And so we're like, dude, we should totally do that at the Bowery. And so we planned it, and we had like, you know, we just had a whole bunch, like Marmalades were up there, I think, and like a whole bunch of bands were just like, we just all sang it, and it was just like, it was a pretty like one of those high point career nights, you know, because it's just like, it was so real, and it was at Bowery, and like, and it was just those three bands, and we're all rocking out and just being retarded, and it was great.
Well, it's just something about when you get to be in a sense of, there's a sense of community.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we all know how hard each of us work, and it's like, you know, it's just kind of like when we get those
blown
moments. Yeah, and yeah. We're up there, and like, you know, and what's awesome is like Wild Adriatic just, like, they shredded, you know, just like every time they play, it's just awesome. But when Black Taxi and they're all together, it's just like, you just
step
feel
the
like,
game. Yeah.
You just feel like you're a part of, like, you're like, I don't know. It just feels awesome because you're like, all these guys, they're so good.
Yeah. You know what? I look at that too. When you play with guys like that and they're your friends and stuff, there's healthy competition. You don't want to wipe the stage with them, but you also
right.
are not going to be left behind.
Right.
You're not
going
to be not as good.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Totally.
As your friends,
and it's like, I don't know. They're certainly, like, you know, of course both bands are just rocking it, but yeah, it was a very special occasion. It was really fun.
Yeah.
I hope we can do, like, Black Taxi and I haven't played together in a matter of months because I've been, you know, I've been busy down here and they're busy up there, and it just
when
hasn't
did you put
happened.
Out Thief of Fire?
That was February of last year, so 2014.
Okay. It's been a while. What are you doing now? What's on the horizon?
Well, basically, so I just cranked out, so the single...
just cranked one out before I came over.
Yeah.
So I'm late. Sorry, bro.
Well, I mean, it's in a weird spot because, like, I just started playing with Scorpion Child, and so out of respect to the work that will take a lot of time in the future this year, I pumped the brakes on my solo tours this summer.
Okay.
So that I would make time for all of their stuff, because we're already talking tours later this year and stuff, and so I just have to, like...
With Scorpion Child.
Yeah, I just
okay.
have to, like,
some
give
Europe
them
stuff
the
too,
room.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, okay. that's the first... That's actually why we met Crobot last night, is because they're going to play... There's a tour brewing, like, in November, like, a Europe tour, Scorpion Child, Crobot. I don't know exactly where, but it was, like, a couple weeks in November. But yeah, so basically, Come Over My Friend ended up being kind of like the flagship off of that Thief of Fire album.
Yeah.
And so, and I really like...
It's the one with the video.
Yeah, and it's, and it, that's kind of why it ended up being that way, because I reached out to a buddy of mine, Rob Seidel from Onion Creek Productions, who just a killer director, producer, editor guy on video, and like, and we just started brainstorming and kind of went to town with it. He wanted to do that song. I thought that song was, you know, it had shown that, you know, it had done a good job from the record and all that stuff. And so I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And so we cranked it out, and it was so much fun because we filmed it, like, you know, this old farm that my family, we've since sold it, but it was like this, like, olive farm and, you know, and like grapes and stuff. And so we filmed out there, and then we tied it into downtown and stuff, and it was really fun. And so that was like... That kind of, like, capped the album, and then I'm releasing a Voodoo Child video within, you know, I mean, no more than, like, a couple weeks. I'm getting some media to premiere it, and then it'll be good to go. And then I have...
Like Voodoo Child, like...
Like Jimi Hendrix
yeah.
cover on guitar.
Okay,
it's
cool,
gnarly.
Cool. Yeah.
It's crazy, crazy. And, like, it's so much fun to play live, and, like, it's... I just want to weird people out, you know? It's like I stand up there, and I'm sitting there with a wah, like the keys are in my hands, and people are like, what is going on? Like, it makes, you can see it on people's faces. Like, instead of being like, yeah, sometimes they're just like, I don't understand what I'm watching, but this is crazy. You know, it's like this new, it's like a weird reaction.
Well, what are you going to do? Sit down?
Yeah, I know.
You
right.
Know what I mean?
It's like
tough
I'm up there.
To be a keyboard player.
Yeah. And it's like, what are you going to like? Seriously. And if in playing solo, it's like, you can become the most boring thing to watch ever because you're stationary, and it's just like, you're standing there and people are like, I can't see what he's doing. He's not moving anywhere. Like, this is literally the most boring show. So I was like, So basically, from using the keytar with Bright Light on La Piedra, I always knew that there was something there, like there was more things to explore there. And so I just kind of picked it up again and actually fixed the one that was broken. And so that's actually...
They're expensive.
The new ones are, but like the new ones have all this like
shit you don't.
Yeah,
need.
They're like tons
Casios.
Of stuff.
New Casios suck,
and it's just all the samples and all stuff is kind of just like I don't want that. I just want the controller. So I use like another synth as an engine. But
what like how do you use? Let's talk gear because I'm in a place. I got a Casio.
Yeah, no, this is awesome.
I got a melodica.
I want to play all of these things. Yeah, so basically, it's like the keytar is an AX1, Roland AX1. And it's like I think 90s-ish, series keytar that
it's
doesn't have any sounds.
There had to have been a time when they didn't really make them because people like there was a time in the 80s when they made them and people kind of used them and then it became funny.
You're right, and they got
weird.
Is it
still funny?
I mean, yes.
I mean,
and no.
Obviously, it's not ironic because if you're going to perform by yourself, I just saw like your balcony TV thing and things I would rather watch you than a dude that's just sitting there.
Yeah, well, of course, like I would too. I mean, if it wasn't me, it's like I know looking at myself like through video and stuff, like with when I'm not on the keytar, when it, earlier solo stuff, like it's just not quite, the degree of intensity that I was looking for. You know what I mean? And so with the keytar, I can finally free everything up and just really, it's like I can thrash around and headbang and run into stuff, and it's awesome instead of like. Being stuck, and the same thing with Bright Light, the same thing with really any band that I play with. It's like, it's hard to let the show come out when you're like adhered to a keyboard. But yeah, so where I'm at now is like, so Voodoo Child is going out. And then I was actually just talking to Rob about, doing another video. Cause I have basically over 30 minutes of the next album written. So it's like 30, 35 minutes of material. That's like for sure going to hit the next album. I mean, it's like one or two songs away from being ready to cut or whatever, but I also have been working with Scorpion Child and we're cutting an album in like May. So like right now it's at this point where I'm having to learn all their stuff and do my stuff. And so realistically speaking, I'm like, I'm just going to make a video, lead into the next album. So I'm going to do like a single from the album that will be released, cut a video with that. And then following that will be the next album. And so it's like, but it's already like, it's kind of hard because it's like, there's just songs now just sitting there and I have to kind of like chill out on them with Scorpion Child because it's like, I just don't want to get too busy and then have to tell Scorpion Child like, it's like, sorry guys, I'm in the studio.
Oh, I can't play this
when you're
gig.
In the studio. Yeah, right. I'm not gonna do that.
So they're going in the studio to make a new record.
Yeah, Frenchie Smith. I
of
assume.
Course.
Yeah, Frenchie.
He
just,
did their last record.
Yeah,
it's fucking.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, like super, super crazy producer. Awesome guy. So actually we got to record for the first time the other day. Frenchie has a Leslie in his studio and I brought in my synths and my, pedal board and my Leslie preamp pedal. And I just like cranked it into his Leslie and it just like, just totally broke up like tube distortion everywhere. And I could tell that, it was definitely a good session, and we just cut a demo to show. Like they sent a few demos plus the song that I was tracking on, of new stuff from Scorpion Child to the label to try to like
right.
Show them like what's up, what we're doing, and Frenchie he makes it sound awesome. He's so good.
He before this turns into like a. Hand job for Frenchie show. This show is brought to you by Frenchie.
Sponsored by.
I fucking love that guy, and I have for many, many years. There's something about his recordings. Like, they come, this rock, like, especially, like, with guitars and drums. It's like, that shit, like, it jumps out at you.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
There's an aggressiveness to it. Sound without being overbearing or
right.
uncool.
Right.
It is what you want your rock to sound like.
Yeah, it hits.
Yeah, it hits.
It their first record, Scorpion Child's record, like, when I first got my hands on it, and I was, like, just starting to talk to the band, and they kind of, like, wanted to show me what they had, and then I was right before the new stuff. I just kind of, like, had a moment with that record, and I was thinking about that exact thing where I was just like, man, it's like, none of these sounds are, like, crushing me or, totally compressed beyond,
No.
Of course they aren't, but, like... But the fact is that without sounding like that, they were just fucking, like, they were just crushing me. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was just like, I was like, this is a huge record. Like, yeah. I can't believe that, you know, I knew the lineup, how that, you know, what the lineup was when they cut that record. And, like, I was like, man, for, and this is gigantic.
He can also, like, capture, like, the spirit of a band.
Yeah.
Like, and that's real
what,
well.
That's what the band raves about. Like, yeah. They pull it out. Like, Aaron, yeah, the lead singer, just always talks about how Frenchie has this knack to, like,
yeah,
you know, he knows when it's the right take and how to get it out of the performer.
I like,
know?
Aaron, man. That, yeah, that's a cool guy.
Cool dude, man.
Yeah. So, all right, AJ, here real quick.
Yeah.
You and I both have Austin Music Awards for Best Keyboard Player.
Oh, sick! That's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude.
Mine is like feeling. A century ago. No, a decade. No, I got it in 2004.
Two millennium.
So it was 2003, 2004. But I didn't get it for any reason. You know what I mean? Except that I was playing keyboards in a band.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I didn't deserve that.
Oh, I don't believe that.
No. No, it's no joke. It's like, you know how sometimes when you look at those award things and you're like, really, that guy?
You're like, wait a second.
What the fucking, like, did he? I didn't campaign in any way. I wasn't like, hey, vote for me for best keyboard player.
Right.
Because, like, you'll notice that I was the number one that guy that year, and I never have been in the top 10 ever again. If it was a like, real bling. Thing, yeah, I would have been, you know, somewhere like McLaughlin, you know, like Mac.
Oh, man.
Mac managed to, he beat you.
Yeah, he crushed me.
And at some point, apparently, you beat him twice.
I did, yeah.
He's a great guy. Did you know him?
No, I, like...
Really?
Unfortunately, of all the people in town here, we never had a serious, like, one-on-one cross paths, you know? And I wish we had, man. Like, it would have been so fun to talk shop with that dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he seemed like an awesome character.
Very,
so.
Very great dude. I actually got to do one of these with him. And also, oh, awesome. And also hang out with him. And also... He didn't know. He thought he won Keyboard Player of the Year when I did, and he was in line in front of me to get like some Hall of Fame kind of thing.
Oh wow!
But then I was like, "What did you win?" And he was like, oh, "I won Keyboard Player of the Year or something." And I was like, "No, you didn't." he was like, "Oh, who won?" And I was like, "Me." And he started laughing. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. He's like, "Oh,
yeah,
my bad."
Yeah. So okay,
that's cool.
Let's. Where are you from?
Man. I'm from Austin.
You are?
Yeah,
you are from Austin?
Yeah, born and raised in Austin. I was born off, like, you know that hospital off Ben White, South, I guess it's St. David's or something. Yeah, I was born there, and my parents, like, they moved from North Carolina in Maine down to Austin because of friends and work, and then...
What kind of work?
Like, my mom started a, like, it was like a landscaping design nursery, kind of like, you know, grow your own plants, install, design the whole thing, do bids and everything. And then my dad did a bunch of construction and everything, but then, you know, basically they would always help each other out, but eventually they like went in both on the company and like did a little less growing their own plants and a little more like, you know, architecture and design and build, okay, and installation and water features and, you know, basically anything. Like, they do lots of commercial stuff, lots of residential stuff. My brother is actually...
They're part of that whole zero scaping.
Yeah, like they're, scaping. Like, yeah, yeah, it's yeah, great, yeah. Obviously, for
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
But
yeah, of course.
My brother, and they, you know, they've just done, like, my mom's been in the business for, like, I don't know, like 40 years or something, like 42 or something. But then my brother, he went to Texas A&M, and... For different reasons, but when he, you know, then landscaping, and then when he came out, turns out he was a landscape architect. And so, like, now he jumped into the business and kind of took it over and has been adding to it and just been blowing it up.
What's it called?
It's called Vincent Landscapes.
Oh, okay.
And it's, like, it's off Bee Cave Road near Cuernavaca. So
yeah,
it's
I know
like,
what that is.
It's kind of, like,
a little out.
So, that, yeah, that's kind of, like, where, that's where I grew up out there, and that's, and so, basically, my house and our business was essentially on the same piece of property, and so my parents could just, like... You know, they could just make it work financially, you know, being, you know, a small business. And so we just kind of like just been out there. That's kind of like where everything, that's where I work on my music and everything out there because, like, you know, I tour and come back and then.
That's where you film the video then.
Yeah, totally. Like, yeah. And we like move stuff around and It's sick, man. It's really fun. I mean, it's like, it's that place, I mean, it's changed so much out there. It's crazy with like the Galleria and stuff out there. It's so weird. I mean, it's still really, it's cool to have it all out there, but so foreign because it used to be like a field, you know, it was just literally just a gigantic field out there and like a barbecue stand.
Yeah.
Now it's like this complex of whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so being born here was just epic. I mean, I do miss some things about old 6th Street. Did you ever know the place called Jazz on 6th?
Sure, yeah.
God, I miss that place so much.
Like, yeah, that was a good place.
Like, I wish I could go back there, like, every day of the week. It's so incredible. Because just as a kid, I'd grow up and, like, watch blues and eat, like, beignets.
Yeah. How did you... I think it's, like, a Bikinis or something, right?
Yeah, it's where... It's basically... Yeah, it's under the parish, and it's Bikinis now. And I could definitely do with jazz over that. So, please come back.
Let me ask you this, AJ. Do you ever wonder what they... I mean, they have like a Hooters and they have Bikinis and they have this stuff. They don't have like a Speedos place. Or it's just dudes, like something for the ladies.
We
Is
should
there?
Found that.
We should.
No, I've never heard of one. And it makes me wonder, you know. Can you imagine the business owner that would have to start that?
Genius. There may be two dudes. Oh, can you imagine how creepy? It's two keyboard players. We could have dueling pianos in there.
Yeah, it's the Speedo special.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds terrifying.
So you grew up going, your parents took you to shows? Like, how did you get introduced to music? And how did you want to play keyboards?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Did your parents tell you you're going to play piano?
No, it was supposedly, I don't remember when I first mentioned, I was 3, and supposedly I said something about it, like I was going to play when I was 5 or something. I don't remember that. But, like, when I was 5, I was just in school, like, I think I was in, I don't know, first grade or something. And I got this flyer from my school that said, like, piano lessons at such and such time after school. And I just kind of brought it home to them. And I was like, hey, I want to do this. And they were like, what? Like, really? Like, you're 5. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You want to play this? Like, you've decided that? And that was it. I guess I just had this conviction about it. Like, I just wanted to start. And I literally didn't stop from that point on. Like, I just took lessons for, like, 10 or 12 years. And then decided... Yeah, I mean, I was a little kid, so I needed the guidance for a long time. But then when I was like 15, 16, I was like, okay, like I kind of like weaned off lessons and started more into just songwriting and just doing my own stuff. You know what I mean? Because it just kind of got to that point where I was kind of stagnating in lessons, nothing new, like covers and stuff just weren't teaching me anything new. So I just told my parents, I was like, I think it's time to just, and I was playing football all the time. So it's like, I was kind of like, you know, we could save money on these lessons, I can do football and I can just do stuff on my own. And like, I'm so glad I did that, you know.
Did
so.
You have a band and stuff?
I've played in a lot of different bands throughout the years.
Like in high school?
Yeah, there was this one band that I had so much fun with. It was like my senior year, like kind of end of the year kind of a band, really. Like we weren't together much more than like, I don't know, like 8 months or something, but it was just like wicked, like metal / hardcore / I don't know, indie rock sound. It was called Poor Man's Opera, and it was like, you know, At All Cost, do you know LAX, Andrew from LAX? And so basically John Oswald, the drummer, started playing with At All Cost after we were in high school, but we all listened to like Unearth, The Bled, At All Cost, and all these like crazy bands. And so we made this like nuts, just crazy rock band inspired by all that stuff. And then we all left for college, and so it just broke up. It was sad.
Where'd you go to? Do you went to UT?
No, I went to Texas State for 2 years.
Okay.
And it was pretty cool. I made some good friends, but I was just there for the wrong reasons. Like I was doing English and psychology, which was really, really, really fun. Like, you know, creative writing and psychology was a fun combo, but 2 years in, I was facing loans and I was facing, like, you know, do I want to do this or music? And it was, like, a huge decision. But I straight up just, like, dropped out of college for music. And, like, I would do it 10 out of 10 times, man. Because it was, like, I just wasn't supposed to be there. You know, it's, like, I could do it and it was whatever. And my, you know, I could go back anytime kind of a thing. But Like, I just, music is just it. You know what I mean? Like, there's just no question about it. It's yeah. like, I definitely, if I didn't leave, I would have never known any of all the touring and all that stuff. So I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
It's definitely a weird way of life, but if it agrees with you as it did with me, it's just kind of your life.
Yeah, just, you don't worry about it. Yeah. It's just not, it doesn't, you know, you just don't look back. Kind of a thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
But as far as my parents taking me places, like, we went all over. I mean, living out there. Yeah, jazz was, that was awesome, because it was just, like, I think they just, like, you know, of course they want to have drinks and stuff downtown, but it was, like, the French cuisine, kind of, a, you know, Louisiana-inspired kitchen, plus just, like, awesome jazz on blues on Sundays. Yeah. It was just, like, it was so sick.
Did you have any specific guys that you were, like, oh, like, you know, I don't want to say anything weird like Billy Joel, but, like, you know, Elton John or Billy Joel. Or
as far as Keys inspirations go, like, my dad introduced me to, all on the same day, he introduced me to Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Tower of Power, and Boston.
Okay.
And it, like, blew my mind. It was literally the same day, and I was just like, this? Like, I'd never tapped into rock and roll until that day, and it was like, well, you know, I played, like, current rock at that point, but it was nothing like the real deal, and it was just... And so, like, immediately I jumped into Boston. Like, one of my first songs was, like, 4Play Long Time, course, you know? That kind of thing. And, like, man, I took that to my teacher at the time, and I just, like, wrecked his life, because I was like, yeah, I want to learn this song. And it's like one of the most complicated songs you could bring in. But, like, basically, I just took off with, like, the Boston organ vibe.
He does some cool Leslie stuff on that. I mean, were you hip to that at that age? Like, oh, he's speeding it up, he's slowing it down.
I didn't have a Leslie at that time, but I knew, like, loosely what was going on, but I definitely didn't have the skills to, like, work a Leslie, you know? Because a Leslie ended up actually being a gift later on from, like, a, you know, super fan that basically it was like, we played a super fan's birthday party, and his name's Tim Roberts. He lives in San Antonio. Awesome, awesome, awesome dude. And
Tim, I enjoy keyboards as a gift. Yeah, my name's, like, Johnny. I live at the Breakers.
But it was like this thing where he had heard, I was playing with Bartlett at the time, and it was like he had heard us play a number of times and really enjoyed it. But then we played his birthday party as a thank you for being so supportive, and just like he was just a rad dude. And
that's
then,
so cool.
And then after the party, we thought he was just like, we didn't know he was serious really, but like at the place when we were playing, he was like, dude, like, we got to get you a Leslie cabinet. And I was like, what? No. You know? And so, like, I was just like, well, haha, you know, funny. And so he kept reminding me, like, no, seriously, like, look for one. And then it was like a month passed before he was like, dude, like, here's the budget. Like, go get a Leslie. I'm like, oh,
what a great guy.
This guy is not kidding. And he's like, and so, and to this day, I still see him in, like, all the San Antonio shows and stuff, and he's awesome. But, like, but yeah, that's when the whole, like, Leslie state of mind stuff started erupting. But
and do you take it with you to shows?
Oh, how every big is single yours? Show, man.
Is it like half of this?
The
or
one.
Something?
It's like the 122, 147, like the big size.
Yeah,
it's like as tall as that. A little bit bigger, you know, because like the 145s are a little cut off a little bit. Yeah, it's rad. And I dropped for tone's sake, the factory 15 inch in the bottom of the Leslie. It's not like all of them sound bad, but the one that I got, cause I Craigslisted it from like New Orleans, and the guy shipped me he shipped me the 122 and the amp separate. And I was just like, time to put it together, you know?
Yeah.
But basically the stock 15 inch speaker that's firing down definitely sounded a little like papery. Couldn't hold as much low end as I was cranking through it, and right. So I replaced it. The band and I, Brightlight at the time, we talked about it, and we decided that like a big fat like Weber Speakers makes this. It's called a California, and it's like this big 60-ounce 15-inch crazy like EV1 style speaker. And so we dropped that into the Leslie, and it was like, just, it's just unreal how with the change it made. So if like if anybody wants to get like a gigantic sound out of a Leslie with a lot of low end, or like when you hit a fuzz and it's like it's not, it doesn't become shrill, you know, it actually has that chug that you want from an organ. You know, like when you're like kind of a thing, and it's all there. It's fucking, it's awesome. So awesome.
So obviously, I mean, you're doing, you're getting this stuff. Who like were you, who were you listening to? Like at that time, were you listening to organ guys? Are there guys like,
I mean,
who's like a great organ guy outside of the, wasn't it Tom Scholz that played the organ on those Boston records? The guitar guy played him, right?
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember at this point. I mean, it's been a while since I looked into to the album.
Boston,
but it's like, yeah, but it's like, they, I mean, they're not, I mean, it's so fast. I mean, technically it's ridiculously fast. And then like, I don't know, like, of course, John Lord is just the man, like Deep Purple, like the painter is.
I just didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know if you went that far back to like those guys that were like the big rock.
Yeah.
And is that why Scorpion Child is kind of like, is that sort of what you're bringing to Scorpion Child?
Yeah.
Obviously not. You're not bringing a techno element to them.
No, no. I mean,
you're bringing an organ.
Yeah, it's like
old school.
My roots are definitely meeting their roots for sure.
Deep Purple shit.
Yeah, like Deep Purple, and they have such a depthy knowledge of rock and roll, and especially that time period. But they just, I mean, those guys just, I mean, they're the real deal. They know so many bands and so many songs, and it's just like, I definitely am bringing this. It's like, it's just more of an aggressive keyboard kind of a style. You know what I mean? It's like, instead of just hanging back and kind of softening Scorpion Child's sound, I'm actually like, you know, jumping in there and like helping. Cause I feel like I'm
putting the gloves on.
Them. Yeah. It's like, I'm ready to hit the stage and like headbang a lot. You know, it's kind of like that mentality, instead of like, you know, I'm not going to be like sitting down and being like the guy in the shadows. You know, it's like, we're going to crush it, and it's gonna be nuts. And
are you gonna be using an actual B3 or something? Are you gonna use
So with Bright Light, I used to use this Nord Electro 2, which has, you know, the B3 and the you know, Rhodes and Clab and stuff, and it was awesome. And then with my stuff, I use a Nord Lead 2, so it's just like, you know, it's just a pretty kick-ass synth, and then a Roland Juno 60 it's, you know, how smooth and how round everything is.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I started jamming a Scorpion Child, I was listening to the mix, and I was like, yeah, these synths sound cool, but like, I need a B3 in here. You know what I mean? It's like, because I have everything.
That's what it, it's got to be as organic as they are.
It's got a throwback for sure. Like it's like the synth stuff. I can definitely do stuff. And you know, when I did the demo with Frenchie the other day, like I just cranked out a synth part and it was fine, because it's like an organ-esque synth patch. So it's like through the Leslie, you kind of, it's like you hear the essence.
That doesn't sound like it's gonna be cool.
It's not. It's like, it's just a. It's like very textural, so it's like, you know, when you need a solid organ lead, like you need a solid organ lead, and the synth is just not going to cut it. But when you want to just make like a crazy distorted fuzz sweep, of course, you know, you need this the filter and everything. But basically, I put money down on the new Nord Electro 5, which is their like brand new, coming out in June, obviously electro, but it has like all these crazy features on it. Like, it now has a synth section, which is like, it has like a gig's worth of RAM, to where you can just like upload from their, you know, online network a lot of different synth sounds and make the whole keyboard like a single synth tone. And I think you can make your own too, which is rad. And then
but you can modify them within the thing, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like, you can do, you know, you can at least do the filter. I think so. I mean, it says that you can upload the synth sounds or make your own synth sounds with like an editor. And then you can do, you know, attack, delay, sustain, release, and I don't know about a filter section. It'd be weird if they didn't have one.
Yeah, that would be
weird. But you'd be like, hey, check out this wide open synth sound. Woo-hoo!
There's nothing you can do to change it.
Yeah. But it also comes with like the whole B3 section from the Nord C2 or whatever that keyboard
was. Oh, those sound pretty good too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're incredible for you know, how Nords are just awesome compared, you know, to a lot of keyboards. And basically, that organ section has the bass pedals on it, which is rad. Nice. And then they have, you know, Farfisa and Vox and a few other things. But it's basically like this crazy, crazy, crazy Nord Electro. And it has a full screen finally. It's like the first Nord I've seen. Because like normally Nords just have like two LED, like, you know, digits or whatever, where it's like, you know, patch 11 or something, And now it's like an actual screen with parameters on it and stuff. And so I'm pretty beside myself about it. And I put money down on it like 2 months ago. So I'm sitting here just like waiting till June and I'm just dying.
To get it.
Yes, man. Like, I want to hear it so bad. I'm doing all their stuff with Scorpion Child and it's like I'm just dying to actually hear it through the Leslie. And like, I've never heard, because at the time I was playing with Brightlight and having the Nord Electro 2, I didn't have this fuzz. And now this fuzz pedal I've been using called the Capride by Rin and Cuff, and it's basically a Big Muff clone. But it's so low end heavy, and I just want to hear the B3 through that, through the Leslie, just to make it like, it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah.
It's gonna be nuts.
Yeah. How many pedals do you use? Like guitar pedals do you use with your one, I mean, you use
two,
a wah wah.
Three. So I use
the fuzz.
Yeah, I go line. I basically run my synth into the first thing it hits is a chorus, because, you know, I want to break up the monotony of the perfect waves or whatever. And that's first in the chain. So it's like, it's becomes more like a part of the synth sound, and it's not like, I'm not like chorusing out the fuzz or something. It's like, I want it to be ahead of everything. But the point is, it goes like chorus to fuzz to wah to, I think, phaser. And then it goes to my delay and reverb. So like five. Mm-hmm. And then I have this other vocal effect pedal. It's basically a space. It's like Roland's or Boss, whatever.
Space Echo.
The Space Echo little stomp box thing. And I got that for live vocals.
Wait, there's a Space Echo stomp box?
Or not a stomp box, but the...
Like the actual tape
like
thing.
The Boss 2 pedal. Yeah, because like there's the like right, vintage yeah, piece. Yeah, but there's like that little... It looks like a DD20, Boss 2 DD20, but it's just a Space Echo. And it sounds awesome, actually. And I've run my Juno through it, but I've been doing live vocals with that, because Ezra actually uses that live for their stuff.
Oh,
and
really?
Then Tame Impala, I basically spent like a day researching their gear, and I looked at his setup, and he has two different pedal boards live, but he still uses the Space Echo for vocals and everything. And so I kind of examined how they routed everything, and so I did that, and it sounds pretty cool. I'm still kind of tweaking it. So yeah, it's a few. I just recently got like the reverb and the phase and the wah, because I covered Something About Us by Daft Punk or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
I needed it to be like, I needed the phase to kind of make it kind of, you know, weird and round.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool.
What do you have favorite like synth records? Like, do you get it all? Do you geek out on that shit? Like, do you get into like 80s synth bands and at all?
Not as much 80s stuff. I think my secret, not really a secret, but like the first thing that always comes to my mind as far as synth goes is actually like Justice Cross, that album. Have you heard it? It's like Justice is like a French house DJ duo, but it's like, because you know Daft Punk. It makes crazy stuff. Like Daft Punk Discovery is one just amazing album. Love that album.
Easily.
And like that was a huge inspiration, like Rat-a-Tat, stuff like that. But Justice, like, they're just so much darker sounding than Daft Punk. Not that they're not necessarily in the same class, but like they're just very, they still have like songwriter-esque electronic, more so on their albums versus their live show. But it's just this gnarly, like, gritty, a little bit, I don't know, it's definitely not lo-fi, but it's like they're not going for total cleanliness, you know what I mean? And it's just like this crazy, just super, like, they played that song Dance, where it's like D-A-N-C-N-C. It's like this crazy single that they had a few years ago, and I don't know how to describe it, but it's like super in your face, nuts, weird sounds. Lots of you know, soft synths and stuff, but it's just, I don't know, it's a huge inspiration. Like Pass the Baguette from the record Thief of Fire, that you can hear kind of a direct inspiration from them on that song, because it's just like just weird harmonics and stuff on the synths, and it's just kind of like all distorted, and it's just pumping like 128 BPM, like just, you know, just like just trying to make people dance kind of music, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's kind of like where, I mean, I've listened to a lot of different synth, and there's other bands that use it a lot, like for instance, like Yesair. You know, like Yesair just does awesome integration of synth and everything, and of course Tame Impala does great stuff. But I'd say like Ratatat, Daft Punk, Justice, those are kind of like the center of my synthesis world.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like, you know, I mean, Pink Floyd used them just differently, obviously, but that stuff's very inspiring because it's like to have the patience on synth that they would have. Like Rick Wright would actually, like, you know, he'd play like three notes on a synth in a whole song, and it was like just they're like perfect. You know what I mean? Like, they just blended perfectly, and it's, like, just to have that sort of, you know, kind of, like, slow everything down patience is also, like, the opposite world of Justice, but it's good, too. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I just can't think of, I mean, like, Calm Trues is another big inspiration as far as synth goes, and, like, I'm trying to think of another one. Not too many off the top of my head, but yeah, it's just a wild world for synth right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Ableton Live is like a playscape. It's so ridiculous. Like, you can just get anything you want now. I downloaded all the, like, Arturia classic synth. Have you seen that? Like, it's like Arturia's, you know, like.
Now I need to get more into, like, what's going on with stuff. That kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, you get, like, a Mini Moog, and you get, you know, an old Prophet, and you get like a Selena and stuff like that.
Do you keep yourself from going to Switched On a lot? Is that place, man?
No, I go there a lot, unfortunately, because my stuff breaks all the time because I play it too hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, that place is just incredible. They're also, they treat me right in there for sure.
They're so good, cool. Guys. Yeah.
So cool. And like,
they gave me that poster one day.
Sick.
Yeah, they said, oh, hey, man, you should. You'd like this.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was like, fuck yeah. Thanks, guys.
They're gems, man. Like, they do great work. You know, it's like, it's nice to go in there, get a good deal, priced right. And like, you're just in this silly land of synths. Like, you just walk in, you're like, oh, an Oberheim. Like, you know, never seen one of those ever.
See, yeah, because you're younger than me. I grew up around those. I remember.
No one had that stuff when I grew up. Like,
I remember,
just hear about it.
Like, Prophet, the Sequential Circuits Prophet,
yes,
series, and also Prophet Drum Machine, also like an Oberheim, like the DX Drum Machines and shit like that. And like, what is it in Oberheim that like Eddie Van Halen did jump with that?
No, I can't remember what they did, but yeah, I know it's the.
What about Eno? Did you get into Eno
or any of that kind
of stuff, or like any of his like music for airports? Is his ambient kind of like?
I mean, I definitely listened to it, but I just never chased that wind. Yeah, it's like I total respect to it, but it was just kind of like, I definitely am kind of gluttonously. I have this need of intensity
and songs. You know what I mean? It seems like you want to play Scorpion Child. Some of that stuff isn't songs. You know?
I need, and it's like. You know, there's a time and place for everything, and house music is, you know, great for being out somewhere and dancing and everything,
sure.
But then I don't find myself necessarily spending all my time listening to it, but I still pull from it because of what it does live and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, it's like the nature of a song and not being a song written traditional song is totally cool, but when I notice when I'm making my stuff, I kind of have that need, you know, it's like it needs...
Me too.
A story, really, just like a storyline, or it doesn't have to literally be a story, just something that feels like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
You know, you played in my hometown, and you played at Tobacco Road of all places. You know, like that's the place, man.
Man,
I mean, that was a place like when I was a kid. Like, I'm sure it's been around since the '60s, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's
what's it like playing that? I've never played there. I've always wanted to.
I mean, you can sense how long it's been there.
Like, smell how long it's been there.
Yeah, dude. And it's like, you can tell, like, the whole, it's like, I don't know if it's level or what, it's like, you can tell it's been there. It's been there for
how
a while.
How do you get a gig? What, were you touring? How do you,
what do you mean? Like,
do you have a booking agent or something? No. They're like, hey, no. You're going to Miami, buddy. You're like, gonna love this.
It's weird. Like, basically, after working with Bright Light, and since we were all very involved with the business and booking and stuff, and, like, although we had bookers, like, you know, I still definitely spent time getting to know everybody and, you know, talking to whoever. And just because, you know, because what are you going to do out there? You're on tour. Like, it's, you know, have fun. Talk to people. Like, meet them, party, whatever.
Yeah. You know my friend Joseph King?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
people sometimes, I mean, he's, like, one of my very, very best friends, one of the closest people in my life.
Awesome.
And some people find his personal enthusiasm for meeting people to be kind of false and bullshit. And I'm like, no, he's like really, like, that's pretty much why he's in the thing. He's literally making friends.
Right.
And it's fun to do that.
And, like, the first time we met was up in New York with Mo. It was like Mo and Joseph.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, I was with the Black Taxi guys because I think the band Brightly and I just played and I met Joseph for the first time, and we just took off talking about, like, philosophy and everything else. Yeah, like, it was a great, like, we've been friends ever since. It was, right. It was awesome.
That stuff makes a difference, huge. In business. Yeah, yeah, but you're also, you're not doing it because you're a fake.
No, it's like
jerk off. You're making friends.
Yeah, and it's like in Miami, for instance. It's like, when I was there, I was just partying and having a good time. But then it was like, later on, I was like, oh, well, you know, I did smoke with that guy, so, you know, kind of thing. It's like, maybe we just call him up and say, hey, and all of a sudden one thing leads to another, and it's like, it was actually worked out just fine. Like, basically, you know, I just retained some of the contacts and everything, and I just, you know, just whatever
and
from
people
this
care
and that.
About you. They're like, hey, what are you up to now, AJ? You're like, hey, I'm doing this. Oh, shit, man, if you go on tour, we'll put you on stage.
And it totally has worked out, man. Like, the Broken Mold Entertainment is a Tampa-ish based production company that does all sorts of festivals and stuff, like Tampa, Orlando, and the area and everything. And they're one of the biggest flagships for us in the beginning of touring with Bright Light. Like, that was a huge, huge, you know, step for us to, like, leave Austin, actually get over to Miami. But then we hooked up with those guys, and they kept hooking us up with, like, great shows and just put us in front of people. Yeah, and they made a huge difference, man. And so, like, and then when it came around full circle, I was like, hey, like, we're coming back. And they totally just came through, and they're just, you know, and they're just the real deal. You know what I mean? There's a lot of good people out there in the industry that, you know, they can tell as musicians, you know, we're just trying.
Yeah, so are they.
Right. Yeah.
So your record Thief of Fire is available. You can get it on SoundCloud. You can go to your website, ajvincent.com. and
get
it's
like
from
on,
there.
You can buy it. You can buy a hard copy from the website. You can buy iTunes, and it's on a few other sites and stuff, and then you can stream it just straight from my website off of SoundCloud.
Okay. Got videos.
Yep. And Voodoo Child coming out soon.
Maybe when this comes out, that'll be coming out.
What's that?
When this podcast comes out, maybe it'll be coming out.
Yeah, it won't be too long, but basically it looks nuts. I actually got it mixed down by Good Danny's studio.
Yeah.
And
by Danny himself or
no, I forgot off the top of my head the guy that
Good Danny them. Bad Dave. Had Bad Dave do it. Good Danny wasn't available.
Oh, Bad Dave. But they did a great job. Like, they, you know, of course Danny is just monster, so he's awesome.
He is. There's some great producers here.
There is, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just, I mean, feel lucky to
all different
work
kinds
with
too.
Them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they did it just, I mean, some of the ears on those people, man, they can hear it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going deaf on stage, and they're well, sharpening it up.
apparently I'm going blind from the level of masturbation I've gotten into over the last decade. It's true. Once you hit 40, like, once you can just really beat it more than you ever did. You go back to, like, almost like numbers from when you were like 13 or 14.
Testosterone.
Yeah, where you just do that and eat all day. are you Is there anything you got a show coming up, but I don't know if this is coming out by the time that comes out. But people can find out where you're playing, find out more about AJ. You can see his balcony TV performances on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, my website is probably the best hub of everything because it has like Facebook and Twitter streams on it, but it also has like I list dates on there with anything that I'm playing with. So like if you go to my Facebook page, right, that's just my stuff. But when I'm playing with Scorpion Child, I'll put it on my website, and if I'm playing a solo show, I'll put it on my website. So that's kind of like the place to go.
Are there any Scorpion Child shows coming up that I might want to see?
I mean, so we're talking about a June show because okay, we have a New York show on the 27th of June, and we were talking about how we want to, you know, make something happen in town because it's been a while since they'd played in town, I guess. And also, you know, to kind of get some fire going before we pop up to New York. So that's up in the air right now. And I feel like it'd be pretty easy to make it happen. I just like, you know, I don't really know what everyone's thinking or whatever, but that just kind of like be on the lookout for because you know, I really hope it happens before we take off because it'd be nice to show Austin like where everything's at and then, you know, do a few shows here and there and then start touring later in the year. So nothing for sure right now, okay, but I definitely think it's coming soon.
On the horizon.
Yeah. The material's really shaping up and it's nuts. It's so crazy.
Yeah. Well, man, tell Aaron I said hi.
Yeah, and, totally.
And I wish you a lot of luck. Is there anything I'm missing?
No, I think we covered it all, man.
Good talking to you.
Good to talk to you,
thanks
too.
Thanks for coming over.
Yeah, cheers.
AJ Vincent, formerly of Bright Light Social Hour. And now he is with Scorpion Child. I'm very excited to hear about this. He is with Scorpion Child. That's like he is with Child, but it's Scorpion Child. I love those guys. And great talking to AJ. I love his solo album, Thief of Fire. Get out there and check that out at ajvincent.com. You can also find it on Spotify, of course, which I enjoy. I do enjoy Spotify. I think AJ enjoys Spotify. So get out there, check out some AJ Vincent, and we'll have Scorpion Child in here whenever they finish this new record with Frenchie. Okay? All right. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also favorite it on Stitcher. And you will get two new episodes a week, every Tuesday and every Friday. Conversations with musicians from Austin, Texas, and musicians from all over the world. You can also like our Facebook page, see pictures of bands, get updates of what's going on with the show, get updates with bands that have been on the show. Find out what's going on. Just get out there and like it. Get involved, man. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Johnny Gowdy, okay? Let's hear some more music from AJ Vincent from his album Thief of Fire. All right, you guys have a great day. Let's get down.